Let's pray. Father, I want to ask that you would help us even understand this moment of approaching your throne of grace. Help us to take to heart what a privilege, what a terror of purity that we're confronted with, what a opportunity and joy. And we come with sometimes dirty hands, our minds, our hearts. Sometimes even, Lord, a mess too big to pick up ourselves. And we know that you are gracious and just to forgive us our sins. So they are before you. They are not hidden. You're aware of every one of them. And we give you praise and thanks that you would reign over us with an abundance, a benevolence of mercy and grace. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope, even though we have some technical difficulties, I hope those videos are impactful to you, that the baptism candidates produce before their baptism. They are uncoached. They're raw and in their own words. And we do that so that whatever is naturally overflowing from their heart at the thought of their baptism comes out. And then they can look back on that and they can cringe or they can laugh or they can cry and understand that even when we don't have all of the theology correct, even when we're searching for words or whatever the case may be, they were very articulate, but whatever the case may be, they know one thing. They know that they're there because what Jesus did in here. And that's all it takes, right? And then what are we commanded to do after we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? To teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. And so as a father speaking on behalf of those, you know, I ask for your help to do that. I don't know where the saying came from, it takes a village, but you really feel that because everybody needs more Christ-like examples in their life than just what they see at home. They need it at home first and foremost and preeminently and loudly and all of that. But we need to know that people exist in this world as those who follow Christ in their context, in their circumstance, in their families and their troubles and their valleys, like Jerry prayed about, they need to see that. And so it's a church-wide effort, I believe, to obey that command of Jesus to make learners of him through those that we've baptized in his name. So I hope when you see that, you feel a responsibility, because you're supposed to. And it's amazing, too, to see young ones. You know, I purposely put the brakes on, put a governor on my children when it comes to thinking about baptism. Because I'm sensitive to the fact that growing up in the context they grow up in and baptizing each other in the pool, they're very familiar with the things of the faith. But I want them to be intimately involved in a relationship with Jesus. Baptism doesn't save you. And so we wait sometimes to see what will happen with your faith as life presents itself. And also, by the way, that's a lifelong process too. Because even though we baptize, even though we put people on church membership rolls, even though they take positions within the church, it may not mean that they make it to the end. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to reiterate what Jesus said in Matthew 7, that it is a harsh reality that people can go their whole life thinking that they have served the Lord and have, in fact, never known Him. So I stopped a while back baptizing people as my brother or my sister. I can't pronounce that. I hope in that. I trust in that. I see fruit and I get confident in that. But only Jesus takes them to the end. And it's for Him, for what He's planned and who He's called and placed within the grasp of His own security. And so we continue to hope and pray that the faith flourishes in all these lives and all your lives, that the faith blossoms, that this is fertile soil, that it takes root and that it bears fruit. And that is what we're looking at. And that is, I'm confident in that when I baptize somebody. But only Jesus can make sure of that. And so that's just a word there. And again, with the younger ones, do you understand, hopefully you do, the context of the culture that they're presented with this day and age that they have to have their faith tested in? And I like this term. It's become part of all Christendom probably, but they have so many competing spectacles from a very young age that to come to faith in Christ, to see Him as most beautiful, to see Him as most trustworthy, to see Him as most valuable, to see Him as Lord and King and Savior is a huge test in this context. It's huge. I'm not saying that no generation has had their own test, right? But this is a lot. And there is much that is trying to grab their attention, grab their heart, grab their devotion, grab all of that to keep them from seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the devil is working to blind that. And he's got tools now. He's got some big, shiny, nice tools. He's got the Milwaukee brand if you're a tool guy, right? I don't know if that's the best one or not, but it seems to be by the price tag. Anyways, all that a word to say that as we look at Luke 14 and this great banquet, parable of the wedding feast, there is a devaluing of that feast, of that opportunity, of that invitation by those who have taken hold of the competing spectacles in the world. Right? And we find that they discount the invitation and say no to it. But who does He invite? He invites people that can't repay. He invites people that normally wouldn't come to such a thing or be invited to such a thing. And therefore reveals in this parable that the gospel, the invitation to the wedding feast, when Jesus finally consummates His relationship with the church, the invitation goes out to everybody. It doesn't matter. The sad part is that when Jesus is discussing Israel, those who the prophets come from, those who the priests come from, they have rejected this. They've rejected the glory of this. And he's heartbroken by that. And he speaks to that with some really strong language. To get this in context, before we start here, and by the way, we're not in Ezekiel, so discount that. I just didn't switch the slide. Go back to Luke 13:34.